Yes, ma'am, Ms. Lane.
It was used that Sunday, and it's my night tonight, because there was a song that's been sung tonight. It's been about me, you can listen to it, there's a song.
Amen.
I've been having a rough week, and God slept me on hand for tonight, because I had a new neighbor move in next door to me, and she's given me nothing but trouble. I just want to mind my own business and love the Lord.
Amen.
And it's such a spiritual stuff, but I need to pray for her, and I did.
God bless you, sis.
I just sat over there bickering about it, you know. See, I was praying for you to help me and help her and pray.
Amen. Amen, sis. God bless your heart. Take your Bible, Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14. Y'all glad you're saved? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wake up in here just a little bit tonight. Amen. Mark chapter number 14. Look with me at verse number 3. Probably some pretty familiar scripture tonight. I just have a simple thought. Won't take very long, but I want to leave you with something tonight. The Bible said in verse number 3 of Mark 14, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made?" Being a blessing to the Lord is never a waste, by the way.
Amen.
Amen. He said, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her." I love verse number 6. "And Jesus said, Let her alone." Amen. Let her alone. I like that. "Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Amen. Well, that's a pretty powerful thing right there.
Amen.
She came and broke that box of perfume, if you will, and anointed the head of the Lord Jesus, and everybody said, "Man, we could have sold that. We could have given to missions. We could have bought another bus. We could have, you know what I'm saying? That we could have fed the poor, clothed the needy. We could have. There's so much we could have done with that money." And the Bible said the Lord looked at them and said, "Let her alone. Let her alone." You know, the best thing you can do is somebody trying to serve God, let them alone. Let's just let them alone. Amen. That's what I always say about these kids coming to the altar. I've seen parents go, "No, you're not serious. Don't go." Hey, let them alone. Let them alone. And he said that this meant so much to him that the gospel would not be preached without her also being remembered. So to the Lord, what she done must have been or meant a great deal to him. But I like what he said, and this is where we're going to preach from tonight. In verse number 8, the Bible said, "She hath done what she could." She hath done what she could. In other words, Jesus was saying, I think, in essence, Brother Warren, she's given me everything she had. She's done what she could. Have you ever made this statement, "I've done all I can do"? But I wonder how often we really do all we can do. I can't remember the last time I did all I could do. Boy, it got quiet on me. The Bible said she did what she could. Did you know the Lord never asked for anybody to do anything that they can't?
That's right.
Amen. The Lord never asked me to sing. Hallelujah. Some of y'all did, but the Lord never asked me to sing. Amen. The Lord has never asked us to do one thing that we cannot do. Amen. We ought to purpose in our heart that we'd like to be a little bit like this little lady right here and just say, "Lord, you know, I may not be able to do this, but hey, quit worrying about what you can't do." Amen. I can't give $1 million in the offering plate. I wish I could, but I can't. So why worry about it? Why spend time explaining why I can't do it? But I can put my tithes in there every week. Amen. Well, don't focus on what I can do. Don't focus on what you cannot do. Focus on what you can do.
Amen.
And by the way, you might be able to do more than you even think you can.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you preachers remember the first time you stood? Amen. You don't remember that? First time you stood in the pulpit and preached the gospel? I'll never forget. I told the Lord to the very second I stepped behind the pulpit, I can't do this. I can't do this. The Lord started calling me to preach, and I knew it. I said, Lord, I can't do that. I ain't even got a tie. That was one of my excuses for not preaching. I don't even have a tie. I didn't wear ties to church. I ain't got no tie. Amen. I wear overalls to church. Lord, you don't want me to preach? I can't do it. And I set it up to the very minute Brother Earl called me to the pulpit to preach my first sermon. And you know what I found out? I was right. I can't do it. I can't do it. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You'll be surprised at what you can do. After that first sermon, I thought, boy, that was the worst thing anybody ever heard in their life. I studied for 3 weeks, Brother Freddie. I had 5 pages. I'm talking about yellow legal pad pages. 5 pages of notes. Betty, I had the idea this will be the message that changes the world. This is it. Brother Earl will probably resign after he hears this, and all the other preachers will quit, and everybody will just give up on preaching after they hear this message right here. I'll never forget it. I preached out of Lamentations, and I preached on when the honeymoon's over. That was my first sermon. 5 pages of notes. Fasted 3 days. Prayed, I mean agonized, I mean wept big old crocodile tears over that outline. I preached 5 minutes. And cried 3 of them.
Amen.
Now I can't preach under an hour with 1 page of notes. Amen. But I thought, I cannot do this. And the Lord kept ensuring me over and over and over, I'm a professional. Let me help you.
Amen.
I'm a professional at this. Let me help you. Hey, you'll be surprised what you can do when the Lord gets involved. Let me tell you what you can do. I told our graduates on Sunday night, I'll tell you what you can do. You can do anything God asked you to. Anything God asked you to do, He'll equip you to do it.
Amen.
Amen. We got some getting their feet wet, helping teach out here this week for the first time in Bible school. Man, ain't that a blessing? You know, I guarantee you they prayed before they got there and said, Lord, help me. Lord, I need your help. How about it? Hey, we ought not ever get to the place where we don't pray and ask God for His help. I don't care if you've been teaching 100 years like Brother Charles. I don't care if you know the whole Bible like Brother Freddie. We still ought to pray, God, we need your help.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I prayed right here tonight. And you know what? This message is taking a little bit different direction than what I thought.
Amen.
You know why? Because I'm not the preacher.
Amen.
I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm just the vessel. Amen. He's the doer.
Amen.
I'm the vessel.
Amen.
He's the doer. You're the vessel. And it never ceases to amaze me God had used this vessel. And a lot of these sitting around in here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. We grew up, most of us, together. And we know what a past we had. And you know, we know our level of education and all that kind of stuff. And yet God chooses to use us over and over and over and over. And you know why He uses us? Because we let Him.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what? He'll use anybody who will let Him. He'll use anybody who'll just say, okay, God, I surrender. Whatever you want, that's what I'll do. Whatever you want, God, that's if you want me to clean the baptistry, God, I'll be the best baptistry cleaner in the world. God, if you want me to hold the door for little old ladies coming out of the parking lot on Sunday morning, whatever, God, you want me to do, just make yourself available.
Amen.
I think God puts a greater emphasis on availability than He does ability. Amen. Let me say that again. I think God puts a little more emphasis on availability than He does ability. Everybody that God ever used greatly in the Bible was available. Was available. Even those who tried to get unavailable got available. Like Jonah. Son, when he hit that beach, buddy, covered in whale puke, he's ready to preach. I bet he'd come out of that thing's mouth saying, the Bible says... I guarantee you, he run that whole trip to town preaching every time his foot hit the ground, he was hacking, son. I guarantee you, he's letting it rip, buddy. Amen. God didn't have to tell him no more, did He? Amen. But they were available. We're to make ourselves available. Listen, when we're doing what we can, I'll give you 3 little points tonight. When we're doing what we can, go to Jude. Look at verse 3 of Jude. Jude only has one chapter. I'm in John. Let me get in Jude where I ought to be. Jude 3. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Listen, when we're doing what we can, we ought to have a desire to exercise our faith. He said we ought to earnestly contend for the faith. You know what your faith is? It's a fight, brother. Amen. Would you agree to that? I mean, boy, I'm telling you, the devil has attacked me. I mean, over and over, especially when God moves in here and we have great services. The devil's out there waiting to stick his tongue out at me every single time. I'm telling you, we ought to have a desire in our heart to exercise our faith. You say, what do you mean exercise our faith? Do something with it.
Yeah. Amen.
We ought to have a desire to do something with our faith. What's the greatest thing we can do with our faith? Share it with somebody else. Hey, let me tell you what the Lord's done for me. I've been so amazed, and I'm a little leery of bragging on people anymore, because you brag on them, then they mess up. But if this one messes up again, I'm going to wrap his guitar around his neck. But I've been amazed at what God is doing with Bo Trader. I mean, I tell you, since he got back to church, three boys have got saved. Two got baptized, I believe. And then another one he brought with him tonight asked me would have baptized him in 2 weeks. I'm telling you. Oh, he didn't come with you? He was just sitting with you. All right. Anyway, I'm amazed what God has done. Hey, we ought to have a desire to exercise our faith. We ought to have a desire to say, hey, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you what God did at our church yesterday. Let me tell you how many people got saved. Let me tell you about the state patrol that got saved in the preacher's office. We ought to have a desire to exercise our faith.
Amen.
Put some shoes on it. Amen. Amen. I believe it was D.L. Moody who said every Bible ought to be bound in shoe leather. Does that make sense to you? Every Bible ought to be bound in shoe leather. Our faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a secret thing.
Amen.
We're not Masons.
Amen.
It's not a private, it's not a secret organization. We don't have no secret handshake and all that kind of stuff. Hey, we want people to know who we are. We want people to know what we are. And we only not only want people to know who we are and what we are, we want other people to become what we are. Amen. We ought to have a desire. If we're doing what we can, we should have a desire to exercise our faith. There ought to be a longing in us to put our faith into practice. Amen. You preacher boys, I say this every now and then, but it ought to be burning inside you.
Amen.
It ought to be burning inside you. Some of these guys, Levi and Brother Freddie, they go a little time without preaching. Levi's told me several times, Brother Freddie has hundreds over the years. Boy, I'm telling you, it's killing me. It's killing me. Boy, if God put something in here, it's got to come out.
Amen.
Amen. Man, you know what happens when you have a pond and all it has is a spring going in and nothing coming out?
Amen.
It gets stagnant. Amen. It's got to have a spring coming in and a spring going out. Or that water just sits there and gets stinky and smelly. Hey, brother, I don't see if you've been called to preach, I don't see how you can sit for 6 or 8 months and not exercise
Amen.
That calling.
Amen.
I'd be dying somewhere. I'd be preaching in a McDonald's parking lot. I'd be preaching in this nursing home down here. I'd be lined up with Brother Warren to go to the jail. I mean, brother, I'd be somewhere telling the gospel story.
Amen.
Amen. There ought to be a longing inside us. There ought to be a longing. You, those of you that God has put in the bus ministry, let me ask you a question. When you have a week off or a Sunday off, maybe you're on vacation, do you think about them kids?
Amen. Yes, sir.
You know why? Boy, there's a longing. Because that's something God put in your heart to do. When you miss your Sunday school class, Levi, when you was off traveling, and I forgot who taught for you while you was gone, but it was Jesse. I believe Brother Jesse did one time. And while you're gone, I bet you thought about that class and that. I stood in my friend's pulpit, Brother Tom Benson, for his 30th anniversary this year. And I stood in that pulpit on Sunday morning, and that was the hardest time I've had preaching in a long time. I mean, brother, I struggled. You know why? My body was there. You know, my spirit was standing right here. I was preaching to them people, but I couldn't quit thinking about you. Amen. Hey, we ought to have a longing in our heart to exercise our faith. We ought to be looking for the right time and place to exercise our faith. Amen. Some people, I love zeal. I do. I'd rather see zeal than knowledge any day of the week. Amen. It's good when you have a little of both. Amen. But I love people who are zealous for the Lord and just anxious to do something for God. But some people don't know when to shut up. Amen. Some people are doing more to harm Christ than they are to help Christ. Amen. We ought to pray God give us the right spirit and lead us in showing us the right time and the right place. Have you ever been somewhere, and it's happened to me on airplanes and different places, but have you ever been somewhere and the Lord got on you so heavy about witnessing to somebody right there beside you that your heart was just boom, 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 boom? I mean, I looked at people on the airplane and thought, I wonder if they can hear that. You know what? That's the Lord. It's time, and this is the place. I have set this up. This is a divine appointment. Amen. Amen. And boy, and when you get to those places, I mean, we ought to witness every chance we get. But when you get God putting you, I mean, dead on with somebody like that, and brother, you, that thumping in your heart, hey, that's usually when it's going to do some good. Amen. Because God has brought them by your way for you to exercise your faith in their life. Amen. Had an older lady sat down on the plane with me one day. I mean, she's probably maybe approaching 70, somewhere in that neighborhood, late 60s. And boy, it started. Boom, boom, boom. Talk to her. I had one of the church tracks with me. And I said, ma'am, can I give you something? And she looked at that track and she started crying. I said, ma'am, are you okay? She said, I'm headed to wherever it was I was headed to. She said, my daughter has passed away. And God had her there. She was saved. But God had her there to talk with a preacher and pray with her. Amen. But we ought to be looking for those opportunities. Looking. Listen, if you're not looking for them, you certainly won't find them. The devil will see to it to that. Amen. We ought to be listening to that inner voice, that Holy Spirit that lives inside us. We ought to have a longing to put it to practice. We ought to be looking for the right time and place. We ought to be listening to the Holy Spirit. But if we're not tuned into Him, He won't never lead you to do nothing. Amen. A lot of people do stuff and they said the Lord led them to do it and He didn't have nothing to do with it. Amen. I've seen the Lord get the blame for a lot of stuff. I've seen Him get the blame for church splits. Divorces. I mean, you name it. I've had people look me in my eye and say, God told me. I said, no, God didn't tell you that. Amen. A lady told me one time, said the Lord told her to kill herself. I said, no, no, no. That's that other spirit in you. Or one of the other many spirits in you, in this case. I said, that was not the Lord. Amen. No way, shape, or form did He tell you to kill. Hey, no, sir. He asked us to live for Him. He said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Amen. We ought to have a desire to exercise our faith. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Brother John, we'll put you in Bible drills. That's fast, brother. Everybody about there? 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. The Bible said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what?
Faithful.
When we're doing what we can, we ought to have a desire to exercise our faith. We ought to have a devotion to be faithful. Listen to me. You will not be faithful without having devotion in your heart. You're not going to be faithful to a God you're not devoted to. You're not going to be faithful to a spouse you're not devoted to. It takes devotion. My wife and I have made it 31 years of marriage, and we've had some bad days and some dark clouds, and we've had our share of disagreements and that kind of thing. But we're together tonight because I'm devoted to that woman, and that woman is devoted to me. Amen. If we're going to do what we can for God, hey, we're going to have a devotion, not just a desire, but you got to have more than desire. You've got to have some devotion, brother. You've got to have a place and a point in time in your life where you make up your mind, this is it. This is the jumping off spot. I ain't going back that way no more. I'm going with Him, and I'm sticking with Him no matter what.
Amen.
Amen. Devotion. We ought to have a desire to exercise our faith. We ought to have a devotion to be faithful. Faithful as a partner with Christ. Faithful in our relationship. Hey, I know people who are faithful to church, but that doesn't mean they're faithful to God.
Amen.
Amen. I know people who are faithful to church who don't even know God. Y'all right? Brother Zach back there, he was as faithful as anybody. Man, that's why I asked him to dismiss in prayer. Well, the Holy Spirit had another idea. He said, God, you're going to have to call my name out. And I said, Zach, dismiss. But man, he'd been coming to church as faithful as he can be. He didn't even know God. Lost. Before we worry about being faithful to church, let's make sure we're faithful with Him first.
Amen.
Now make sure we're faithful to Him. Hey, have you talked to Him today? If you hadn't, you're being unfaithful. If you hadn't, you're being unfaithful. When I'm out of town, me and my wife talk several times a day, every day. While I'm on my way to church, I call her. When I'm on my way leaving church, I call her. While I'm going to the restaurant to get something to eat, and I say, after I eat, I'll call you back. Get back to the room, I'll call you back. I call her three or four times in a matter of just a few hours. You know why? Because I love her. And I am devoted to her. Hey, if we love God, we'll call Him a couple times a day.
Amen.
Man, wouldn't you hate to bow your head and go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, this is Eddie White. And He said, who? Who is this? People call me that I ain't talked to in a long time. Hey, what are you doing? They don't tell me who they are. And I finally have to say, I'm sorry, who is it?
Yeah.
Because I hadn't heard their voice. Yeah. There's other people I don't need caller ID. As soon as I hear their voice on the other end, I know exactly who it is. This ain't got nothing to do with the message, but when my girls were living at home, my wife and my two daughters sound exactly alike on the phone. My oldest daughter more especially. And she was a teenager, probably 15, 16 years old, and I was out of town preaching somewhere. I called home, and the voice on the other end said, hello. And I started talking dirty to her. It wasn't real bad, thank God. And then that voice on the other end went, Daddy. I said, oh. So I developed the habit real quick. When they'd say hello, I'd say, who is it? Prove it. Man, I want God to be familiar with my voice when He hears it. When God hears my voice, of course, you know He knows who you are. I'm just making a point of illustration here. Hey, don't let it go so long that you got to explain to Him who you are.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Man, you ought to have a faithfulness as a partner with the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be faithful as a prayer warrior, not just in your relationship with Christ, but your prayer for others. For others. You know why people ask us to pray all the time? Because they need somebody to pray for them. People ask all the time, will you pray about this? Will you pray about that? That's what this whole sheet that's got filled out, all the front and part of the back, filled out here tonight. Every one of those are prayer requests. We ought to be faithful to prayer. We ought to be faithful in practicing our Christianity. Amen. Part of that's being faithful to church. You ought to be here. I guarantee you when it's going to be the service that you need the most was going to be the one that you had to fight to make it to.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That night when you say, man, I don't feel like going, I'm just going to stay home, and you make yourself come, you'll be so glad you did.
Amen.
Amen. You see, church is not what we're doing for God. Church is what God does for us. Amen. This is where God helps me. This is where God feeds me. Hey, if we didn't have some of these services every now and then like we had a couple of Sundays ago when I didn't even get to preach. Or I did preach, didn't I? No, I didn't. I'm trying to remember. We have those kind of services, man. When people start testifying, telling about the goodness of God, and people are getting saved. You know what God's doing? I mean, he's helping those, but he's helping me. He's encouraging me as a pastor. He's saying, see, I'm not done with you. See, I still got my hand on you. I'm still blessing and working in this place. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. You know, it just encourages the fire out of me, man. I need that. These people, I've had people tell me and honestly believe it in their heart. They said, I can worship the Lord on the deer stand just as good as anybody can in church. That's a lie. Oh, I used to pray in the deer stand. Lord, please let a big buck walk by here. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Hey, don't tell me that. You cannot worship just as good on a deer stand. Maybe on Monday morning you can get along with God in the deer stand. But you can't tell me you having church in a tree on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Got quiet again. Brother, I remember me and Ollie Matthews, he's in heaven now. He was one of my spiritual fathers. We were in a hunting club down in Talbot County, and it was Saturday night, and it's getting late, and Ollie said, why don't you just stay? Call somebody to teach you Sunday school class. Just stay and hunt with me tomorrow. And I let him talk me into it. I crawled up that tree that next morning. Boy, the wind started blowing. I was in a little pine about that big around. That thing's going, whoo. I prayed that morning, and I remember exactly what I prayed. I said, God, if you'll get me out of this deer stand safely and let me get home, I'll never do this on Sunday morning again. Amen. I knew that wasn't where I was supposed to be. Amen. Amen. And listen, I'm not against somebody taking a vacation. You ought to get away. Amen. As soon as my wife graduates nursing school, we're going on vacation, man. Amen. But listen, on a normal week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you ought to be faithful in your church.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to have a desire to exercise our faith. We ought to have a devotion to be faithful to the Lord. Look at 1 John chapter number 1. Go to the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter number 1. I'll give you this and we'll be done. Say amen when you get there. 1 John chapter number 1, look at verse number 3. John said, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as I'm sorry, I thought, man, this got to start sounding better here. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 3. Boy, that looks a whole lot better.
Yeah.
That matches what I'm about to say. Amen. He said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have, say that word with me,
fellowship
with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. I said we ought to have a desire to exercise our faith. We ought to have a devotion to be faithful. And we ought to have a delight in fellowship. We ought to have it. Listen, if we're doing what we can, it ought to be a joy for us to be together.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say it again. You know what? It thrills me on Sundays, especially like these past couple of Sundays we've had. Brother Freddie had to make people leave. I mean, you get ready to lock the building, you just got to go back there and turn the lights out on them. Like, you know, go home. And it's a blessing when you see your church enjoying being together. We ought to have a desire for the right kind of fellowship. Hey, when I said I miss y'all when I'm gone, I really do miss y'all when I'm gone. I mean, I miss the fire out of you. Amen. I do. You know why? I have a desire to be with you. Man, when I'm off preaching, you understand, I'm pretty much on my own. I don't know nobody. Somebody will take me out to eat. Pick me up at the hotel and take me back. I mean, you know, spend some time with the preacher. He's about really the only one I fellowship with. Man, when I get home, I miss y'all. Amen. Why? I have a desire to be with you. You know what? I've enjoyed this month. I've been home, what, is this my third Wednesday night? Second or third Wednesday night in a row, man. I'm liking it. I may retire from evangelism. Amen. My wife starts making them big bucks. Amen. I'm kidding. I am praying, Lord, let me slow down, though, so you help me pray about that. But we ought to have a desire to be together. We ought to enjoy this. I like it when I can't hardly get you to sit down after fellowship. I like it when I have to say three or four times, okay, let's get a seat. Okay, let's get a seat. I love watching you just mingle and talk and enjoy being together. Amen. Christians ought to enjoy being with Christians.
Yes, sir.
Let me say that again. Christians ought to enjoy being with Christians. Amen. I love being in a place where I ain't got to worry about how somebody's going to talk in front of my wife.
Amen.
I ain't got to worry about how somebody's going to act.
Amen.
And that's a blessing, man.
Yes.
We ought to have a desire or a delight in our fellowship. Listen, we ought to be agreeable in love with one another. Amen. Not so stinking argumentative, fuss, fight all the time. I know churches, that's all they do, Brother Warren's fight. I had a man tell me not long ago, he said, I was preaching off and this fellow was at that church, but he went to another church. He said, I didn't even know they was having a revival here tonight. It was Wednesday night. He said, I lay out of my church every time they have conference and come over here. I said, you don't like conference? He said, all they're going to do is argue for an hour and a half. He said, they do it every month. Somebody asked me the other day, one of our newer members said, when do we have conference? Let's see. We had one when we bought this building. 15 years ago? No, we've had one since then. I got to the bank to borrow the money to buy this building. And the banker said, I've got all your paperwork here. He said, but I seem to be missing the minutes from the meeting where y'all voted to buy the building. And that, thank God, that was on Wednesday. I said, oh, my, I'm sorry. We must have left that out. I said, I'll have it for you tomorrow. I went back to the church that Wednesday night. I said, guys, we got to do something right quick. We ain't voted. Amen. Yeah, I mean, you know how many open arguments we've had in 21 years? None.
Amen.
Thank God. I don't believe in superstition, but we've had no splits. And God's been good, man. You know why? I believe because we really love each other and enjoy being together. Amen. Ain't no sense in all that fussing and fighting all the time. Amen. I want to be agreeable in love, not an agitator. Amen. I had a fellow tell me one time, Brother Charles will know who this is, that he came and joined the church. And he was a former deacon at another church. And the morning he joined the church, we're standing outside the old building over there. He said, I just want to let you know, I like to rock the boat. I said, get out of my boat.
Amen.
I like smooth sailing.
Amen.
He was basically telling me, I like to stir trouble. I like you in the wrong place, Jack.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We got enough on our own without somebody having to help it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We ought to have a desire to exercise our faith if we're doing what we could. We ought to have a devotion to be faithful. We ought to have a delight in fellowship. I ain't going to turn to these, but let me give you a couple more right quick. We ought to have a determination to follow Christ. A determination to follow Christ. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We ought to have a determination that I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We ought to pray God would increase that determination. We ought to have a door to find a place of service. We ought to be looking to see what we can do for God.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to be looking for a place to help. You ought to be looking for a place to jump in.
That's right.
Amen. Hey, we ain't like a lot of churches. You ain't got to be around here 6 years before we let you do anything.
Amen.
Amen. We've let people get involved before they ever joined the church.
Right.
Amen. Brother Terry and Stacy was on a bus, I believe, before y'all ever joined, wasn't you? They wouldn't even let her, the church they were going to, she asked to work if she could help in the nursery, and they told her no because she wasn't a member. We got people singing in the choir that ain't members of this church. What are you saying? I'm saying find you a spot.
Yeah.
Find you a place because there is one. Amen.
Amen.
I'm recruiting some help right now. I'm praying about somebody to be over it, but I'm wanting some of these young men to get involved. We need some parking lot attendants. I need some boys out there with an orange vest on, especially some standing right in front of them reserved spots on the other side of the building that our church members park in every week.
Amen.
That says reserved for visitors. I watch y'all do it out my window. Amen. Right in that reserve for visitors, man. I'm like, here's your sign, dude. Can't read. And then we have visitors circle the parking lot and leave because there's nowhere to park. So, hey, we got that. That ain't no big job, but, hey, it needs to be done. I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. We had a little leadership meeting the other week, and I don't know if I brought it up or somebody else did, but we talked about starting a seniors program, something for our older folks.
Amen.
And I said, I got somebody on my heart. And the Lord put Jerry and Sherry Bailey on my heart.
Amen.
I told them to pray about it. They prayed about it one day, and they are excited.
Amen.
They are excited. Amen. We're gonna call it the Gold Club. God's older leaders and doers. Get your minds out of the gutter. That place closed, man. The law shut that place down. I wanted to do that years ago, and I said that. I want to call it the Gold Club, and somebody said, that's a strip joint in Atlanta. I said, oh. But now it's closed. We get the name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I think it's going to be an awesome thing. Amen. We ought to find a door, a place to jump in, to do something. We ought to have a duty within us to be fruitful. Amen. We ought to be duty-bound to be fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply is what the Lord said. Amen. We ought to want to double ourselves.
Amen.
Sure. Amen.
When I was
just so fortunate that she was there for me. How about that? Bless your heart, sis. Ain't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Brother Jerry's going to load them up. They're going to hook up with Fullerville. They go to the mountains every year and pick apples, and they're going to do all kinds of stuff. They're going to have a good time. Amen. But we ought to have a duty to be fruitful, to reproduce ourselves. Amen. I'm going to quit right there. She hath done what she could. I made that statement the other day. I was talking to somebody here about a situation, and I said, I've done all I can do. And the Lord said, you stinking liar. And I've been thinking all week, how often we say that. I don't know what else to do. I've done everything I know to do. I've done all I can do. I'm going to be a little bit more careful about how I use that phrase. Because that little lady, the Lord looked at her and said she'd done what she could. She'd give it all. I don't think I'd be found guilty of giving it all. Amen. But I want to do better. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Come and pick you up a prayer sheet. Listen, before everybody starts moving, let me kind of explain something right quick. On Wednesday nights, especially for our newer folks, they pass these clipboards around, and it's just prayer requests. And this is how we close our service on Wednesday night. We just get these prayer sheets and gather around this altar together to pray. I don't know if it's last Wednesday night or Wednesday before last, one of them. It was so loud out here, just people fellowshipping, talking, kids running and ripping, that, I mean, I couldn't even think to pray. I finally just folded mine up and put it in my Bible. But if you got kids, if they're in here, I know they're all out there this week. But if you get through praying and you are talking to somebody, kind of hold it down. Because other people are still praying, okay? So let's take this time a little more serious. And I ain't fussing at nobody, but this is our time to pray together. That we get to exercise our faith in corporate prayer. Amen? So with that said, come get you a prayer sheet. Pray till you're done and you're dismissed.